Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We talked about Charles Drew and blood banks this week, and it was the episode that we had to take the most composing ourselves breaks in a long time, I think.
Yes.
It's for both of us.
Yeah.
The whole last portion.
I mean, I feel like I often have to take breaks because I get emotional. But yeah, that one was a lot of like, read a paragraph. We both wait a minute.
Yeah. One of the things I originally had in the outline that I wound up taking out was that one of the reasons there were so many doctors who had trained at Howard who were living in Winston-Salem was a hospital called Kate B. Reynolds Memorial Hospital, which was nicknamed the KDB. At the time that this happened, this was one of the biggest hospitals for Black patients in the United States, and it was also home to a nursing school for Black nurses. Winston-Salem is the closest city to where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that this ever existed.
Oh.
It closed a couple of years before I was born. And as I was sort of trying to track down, I was like, why were there so many, like, specifically, how did, like, where were people practicing in Winston-Salem? And I found out about the KDB and I got a little choked up about it. I was like, I think this is something I feel like I should have learned as somebody whose entire K through 12 education happened in the Winston-Salem Forsyth County school system.
Well,
but you know, didn't know until just now. Another thing that came up as a parallel was there was that passage that Charles Drew had written a letter to one of his former coaches where he was talking about how there wasn't like a surgical tradition at Howard training Black surgeons. And it reminded me of our episode on Vivian Thomas, who, if you do not recall, Vivian Thomas was an enormous part of developing a surgical treatment for a condition called tetralogy of Fallot. And did that under a white surgeon. He was a surgical technician. And so we had a conversation in that about how Dr. Blaylock, who he had been working under, was like, had some regrets that he had not sent Vivian Thomas to medical school. But if he had, what his likely role would have been as a doctor, which probably would have been practicing in a hospital or a private practice or whatever with Black patients, which was like really the same point that Charles Drew was making. Vivian Thomas's work was like just a few years after that, not long after that at all, but it's still sort of an example of how few opportunities there were for Black doctors and surgeons to like make groundbreaking discoveries in the world of medicine because of the systems of racism that were in place.
And even if they made them, they couldn't move forward in their careers.
Right. Right. Also, obviously, there are still huge healthcare disparities along racial lines today. That is not something that has disappeared.
We did not solve that.
No.
I have a thing in this episode for which I'm deeply thankful.
Okay.
Which is to have another instance of a couple who got married very quickly and seemed very happy together.
Yeah, well, we didn't get into this, but there were some things about their relationship that did seem to be a little challenging. Like, one of the things he really seemed to like about her was that he was really passionate and she was really grounded.
Uh-huh.
And so it felt like she sort of anchored him in some ways. But that also seems to have sometimes led him to feel like he didn't have the kind of passionate connection.
Oh, yeah.
So there were some ways that I think their relationship was sometimes difficult. And the fact that he was at work so much and was separated from them so often.
That would suck.
And then tragically died at just such an early age where their children were all still really little.
Just as a married my person very quickly person, I'm happy for any instance where that doesn't turn into and then the whole thing collapsed in a crunchy pile of flames because people shouldn't do that. And I'm like, sometimes they should.
Right. Right.
Sometimes they should. just a personal note of appreciation on that one.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride in the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit-tested for all-day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
You talked at the end of the episode about the issues around HIV and blood donation.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to expound on that any further.
Yeah, you and I both lived through the AIDS crisis. And I think that that folks who were not born yet might not have a sense of like how scary it was.
Yeah.
And how there was a period of time when there was no way to test donated blood for HIV. And there were people who went to get a surgery and got a necessary blood transfusion and contracted HIV through that transfusion. And so in that environment where like there wasn't a way to test and people knew that it like disproportionately was affecting men who had sex with men, like I don't know that there would have been another way in that moment to have tried to protect the blood supply. But then tests did become available and it became clear like that there is a brief window where a person could transmit HIV through their blood, but like not show up on a test yet. But that window is, it's not an entire life. Like the lifetime ban no longer made any sense at all. And then even when it was reduced to a year, that's like still a year was like way longer than the testing seems to back up. And then like now it is 3 months and that is something that started during the COVID pandemic. All of this is only related to the United States. I have no idea how this works anywhere else. And even then it just, it felt like the FDA was saying, we're desperate for blood, so I guess we'll take your blood now.
Right.
When really what should have happened is years and years and years ago, some studies to figure out, like, what are the right questions to ask individual people, not to make a whole blanket statement right. of, and then also, like, what's the actual time period where a person might have been exposed to HIV but not have it show up on a test yet. I've been trying to donate blood regularly. I'm not doing it quite as regularly as my goal is to do. I just, there will be times where I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make it to the donation drive tomorrow. Like this, right. I have to reschedule it sometimes. But like the number of questions that are asked now is, I remember the first time I ever gave blood, I feel like there were three questions and they were questions that pertained to, I think, like HIV, hepatitis, and maybe a third thing. Now it is a very long list of questions that involves like your sexual history and whether you've gotten tattoos recently and your travel history, whether you have lived in the UK during the period when mad cow disease was happening. Like it's a very, very long list of stuff.
Yeah. I don't ever seem to get to donate blood. They always do the spin and go, you're anemic. And I'm like, well, I don't feel anemic. Yeah. And they're like, but you are. And then that's the end.
One of the times there was a time that I was going to go. The very first question that you are asked when you're going to donate blood is, are you feeling well today? And there was one day where that answer was no. And so I rescheduled it. And then the day that I rescheduled it, I got there and my pulse rate was too rapid. And they'll check it a second time. They'll like give you a few minutes to kind of chill out. Just check it a second time. And they were like, your pulse is still 102 and it needs Whoa. To be under 100. I don't know what was up with me that day. So I had to defer that day too. I got sent home. And like, so that kind of stuff has caused me to have to defer a couple of times. There've been, for a while, if you had been to Haiti mm-hmm. at all, even if you were on like a cruise ship docked at the private island that you never got off of, you had to defer. I think that has loosened up a little bit, but that's like a malaria risk. Anyway, the study that's happening right now to try to figure out actual questions to ask instead of having this blanket discriminatory ban is called the Advanced Study. They have recruited all their participants for it. I think they're expecting to have the results of it by the end of the year. And I am hopeful that the result will be like actual questions about people's behaviors to ask
yeah.
that really do quantify an individual person's risk instead of it being like no one who has had sex with another man, like
right.
no man who's had sex with another man or had sex with a man who's had sex with another man in the last 3 months, which is what it is right now.
Yeah. I'll probably be disqualified for a while because of tattoos.
Yeah, the tattoo requirements are a little bit looser than they were some years ago because yeah. now there's stuff that has to do with whether the state regulates the tattoo parlors.
Right.
That's how I learned Massachusetts, a state that regulates a lot of stuff, apparently doesn't regulate our tattoo parlors in a way that the FDA finds sufficient for blood donation.
Right now I'm, you know, trying to get lots of work done and finished up on my tattoos. So I'm kind of there once a month at least. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when I will be able to try to give blood again and be told once more that I am anemic.
Sure, anemic.
I one time didn't even get to the spin because they were like, your blood pressure is way too low.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that would be the case now because I've put on some weight and I'm a little older. But at the time, it was like one of those.
Yeah.
You will turn into a limp rag if we try to take blood anyway. So,
yeah, we've talked about my hypertension journey on the show. My blood pressure is doing pretty well right now. It is mostly in the normal range with medication. But when there's an app, you can look back at your donation history. And there's a couple of times where I'm like, I wish they had said, hey, you maybe should talk to your doctor about this blood pressure because this is a little high. But they didn't. I don't know if there's a rule about how high your blood pressure can be to donate blood. But if your pulse is over 100, they will tell you to go home. Anyway, fingers crossed that we get to a more reasonable, not discriminatory policy that is about actual risk factors and not like a broad ban on people based on their sexual orientation. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride in the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit-tested for all-day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
We talked about Lady Chatterley's Lover this week.
We did. A book I'm pretty sure I've never read.
I've read it, but I'll confess to you, I get my wires crossed over things that happened in Lady Chatterley's Lover and things that happened in Madame Bovary.
And I have definitely read Madame Bovary in one of my literature classes in college. And we had a number of required readings in that class that like had to do with people being unhappy and unfulfilled in their relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover between those two.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, I get very confused.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever read a plot summary of Lady Chatterley, but their first sexual encounter happens in the forest on the floor. And there's an event in Madame Bovary that happens in a carriage. And I get those two switched every time.
Yeah, I remember the carriage scene.
Yeah, I'm always like, which one is in which book?
It's one of the ones that I remember discussing in class also.
I read that book and I read Bovary in high school.
Yeah.
And then when I was in college, my high school English teacher asked if I would like to guest lecture on it for her class she had then, which was fun and made me realize teaching is hard.
Mm.
I have so many side notes for today that I should probably be slightly judicious about them. This one isn't really a thing that's worth a lot of discussion, but it's a fun trivia point. Mm-hmm. We mentioned in the episode that An Enjoyable Christmas, A Prelude was D.H. Lawrence's first published work.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to publish that as part of a contest that he had won. But the thing was, he had entered multiple times, and so he had used a different name for that one, and it published not under his name.
Whoops.
But as his dear friend, Jesse Chambers, although people soon realized that D.H. Lawrence was the true author. Like, they didn't try to hide it once it was published, but it just makes me a little tickled that his first published work wasn't actually under his own name.
That's funny. Something that jumped out at me that I did not realize, it didn't click with me when I was reading the outline ahead of time. It only clicked with me in the studio. During the trial, when the prosecution was like, would you want your wife to be reading this? I assumed that the jurors were all male.
No.
Because, like, there was a long time when the jurors would have been on
yes.
all male. And so it wasn't until we got to the part about the dedication on the, like, the next edition of the book that that mentioned the men and women on the jury. And I was like, guy was standing up there being like, would you want your wife reading this in front of, like, it just added another yes. layer of gross to me.
So I will tell you that I had that same journey of discovery while doing the research, and I left it purposely ambiguous in the thing because to me it is kind of a punch of like, oh, Lord, that man's a jerk at the end.
I love this. I love this. I'm glad we've had this conversation.
Yeah. There's an interesting thing. We mentioned his ashes being moved from France to Taos. And now if you go to Taos, Taos loves their D.H. Lawrence. He didn't live there very long, but they really love D.H. Lawrence. And they have, like, entire, like, very beautiful spaces dedicated to him. And the chapel where his ashes are is still there, except there are a lot of people that think his ashes aren't in there. So there's a D.H. Lawrence scholar named Emile Delavenay, and he wrote a paper not that long ago, but the case was made that when the ashes were being brought back over, it was discovered that they were going to have to pay taxes on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that without telling Frida, her lover at the time, not yet her next husband, had instead spread them in the Mediterranean and then put dust and some earth in the urn, and that is in fact what's in Taos. And he has a whole supporting thing around that. I will make sure I include that in the show notes if you want to go read that paper. It's available on JSTOR, but you do have to be logged in to see it. It's just an interesting theory. As I was reading, I was like, I wonder how many people are talking about this in biographies of him that are more recent, and they kind of don't. I think most people are like, let's not. It's not germane. we didn't talk about the fact that D.H. Lawrence painted a lot. He painted
oh, yeah.
a lot of,
yeah, yeah.
of also very provocative and sexually explicit paintings. I was reading one account of them where someone said, they're really not that explicit. They're mostly very gropey. Which is not incorrect, but if you go looking for them, he has a very unique painting style, and we didn't really get to talk about that. But I also mentioned that the U.S. and Great Britain are not the only places that this book has a legal history.
No, definitely not.
And the two that sort of broke my heart were in Japan and India. In those cases, there was a full translation of Lady Chatterley's Lover published in Japan in 1950, and that is its own famous obscenity trial in that country.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, a lot of literary experts testified for the defense. However, that publisher received a guilty verdict in that case and had to pay a pretty significant fine. And that's pretty similar to how it played out in India as well. So it's kind of interesting. It was still banned in Australia, even after the British case around it. And then black market copies got smuggled into Australia and started to be published, republished there in the mid-60s. And that kind of led people to go, eh, I guess we're allowing this now. Like, it was a much more relaxed kind of proceedings. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting thing, the way one book can really, like, catalyze this really, a pretty serious discussion about what is and is not acceptable in the realm of literature and art. I mean, I think you and I have lived through plenty of those, right? Where various artists and writers have been kind of called on the carpet for being obscene, and the other people are like, no, that's, it's art, dude. I don't think we'll ever come to consensus because not everyone will agree what's acceptable.
Sure.
I mean, there are still, you know, lists of banned books that appear everywhere, and libraries do banned book promotions, and
a lot of calls to ban books ongoing currently.
Yes. Which is just fascinating to me. There were some really interesting things I didn't include because this was starting to run a little bit long. News articles where people had, of course, you know, reporters had, of course, to get a slightly different spin on the story, talked to like their local libraries about it and been like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And there was one library where the head librarian was very matter of fact, and I sort of loved it, where he was like, I mean, we have it. We've actually had it for a little while, but like nobody checks that book out. They all read Sons and Lovers. I don't know. And like, we wouldn't let a kid get to the checkout desk and take this book. Like we do recognize that like not every book is for kids. It was just this interesting thing of like, why do you think this is a problem? Kind of seemed like the reaction. Books. Anyway, D.H. Lawrence, he's so fascinating to me. Probably kind of a mess on the inside, but he had a lot of weird things that happened. Anyway, that's my thanks on Lady Chatterley's Lover, which I'm sure people will ask us about various movies. There is a new Lady Chatterley's Lover. I haven't seen it yet because it isn't out yet. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know that I'll watch it. That's kind of not my genre of film. So we'll see. It'll be out, I think, by the time this airs, but it was not out when we recorded it. I think November 25th is when it's out on, I'm pulling this from memory, Netflix. Yeah. Don't quote me on that, but I think November 25th, if you're looking for a new version. There have been lots of versions over the years, including that French one that kind of riled up this whole case again. Lady Chatterley's Lover. Emma Bovary. They're all one. They're all one to me. They're not. I know. They're different. Gustave Flaubert would be chagrined. I do wonder what D.H. Lawrence would think of all this, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if he would just be like, what? So many lawyers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But his little boat got to fly, so there you go. If you are coming up on your weekend, hopefully you will enjoy some art or literature, whatever you think is appropriate for you. And if you can't do that, I hope you at least have the best possible couple of days ahead. We will be right back here tomorrow with a classic episode, and then on Monday, once again, with new stuff.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.